Welcome back to the podcast. Gabe Giannis and I, we started rapping about Mr. Beast. And I was like, dude, we just got to start recording because I don't know what he's going to say, but it's probably going to be something magnificent. So we might as well start recording. So what do you have to say about Mr. Beast? Who is Mr. Beast?
So a lot of people might not know who he is, but he's one of the, I don't think he's like the top YouTube channel, but he's
I'm
like
pretty
one,
sure he's the top.
Like the top top?
I think he's the top.
He might be.
Like he has like billions of views.
It's insane. And there's just so much like so cool about what he's done and how he's built what he's built. Like from a marketing and content perspective, there's so much to learn from him, but also from like just like the tenacity it takes and the obsession it takes to be really great at something is something that like, you know, he's exemplified. He's been on a couple different podcasts. He's been on Rogan, which is probably the longest one that he's been on, or at least that I've seen. And so he goes really in depth into like, you know, how he started. But I feel that like with him and with many other people, people kind of like see where they are now, right? Like super successful. And they're like, he had some secret, right? Like he just figured it out, was lucky, had the talent, whatever. But it's hard to like fathom, or no one knows unless you like really pay attention to the full story. The fact that he went, I think like 5-6 years with like his YouTube channel making no money or making very little money.
He put up like a video every day for like 5 years, right?
Put up a video every day for 5 years for a long time. I don't remember exactly why, but that's kind of like that. That's the punchline to me, right? It's people will be like, oh, like I want to become, you know, like I want to be able to like have content be a big part of what I do. And they'll post once a day for a month. And then they'll be like, man, it's not growing.
Yeah, I'm not getting the traction I want. I'm not getting the likes I need, right. Whatever. Yeah.
And think about it. Like think about doing it for a year, 365 days in a row, posting content every single day. And then still being like, hey, like this thing isn't panning out. Like think of how many people would get to that point. And I mean, kind of reasonably be like, hey, I've done this for a long time. It's not working out. Like, you know, and then you fizzle out or you go in another direction. Now think about doing that for 5 years. And then the craziest thing is doing it for 5 years. And then once he started making even like a little bit of money, it's not like he took that money and was like buying nice things or whatever. He reinvested every cent back into the channels. Like he would make 10,000 on a video and he would take that 10,000. And that's exactly how much the next video would cost him in like the giveaways or whatever. So he was just like reinvesting. I think he still lives in North Carolina or whatever.
He does. Yeah.
Super modest. Like, you know, he's not, and all he's done every step of the way is reinvest back into this thing that he's obsessing about and wants to build. So delayed gratification, hard work, consistency, and persistence to like an extreme that I don't think anyone could match. And that's just like, it's the simple like equation to being the very best at something. And some people are built to do that. Some people aren't. But I think that what's important is realizing that that's what it takes.
Yeah. I was talking to my brother-in-law about social media actually. And he was like, so he's 24. He's like, almost everybody my age has tried to like get on social media and try and like become an influencer, even for like a week, a month, a year, whatever. Like, I don't know if that's true of everybody, but a lot of people.
Yeah,
right?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's because like they think like it's going to be like, oh, we're going to put up a social media post. It's going to get like 50 likes. And then next day it's going to get like 75 likes. And the next day it's going to get like 100. And then all of a sudden I'm going to start monetizing reels. It's like, dude, it doesn't work that way. And they get like a month, they get like a year in. And I think that, you know, especially for a demographic that's so used to instant gratification. And that's what makes Mr. Beast even more impressive because he's like 20, I think he's like 28 or 29 or something like that. I could be wrong.
Yeah, he's definitely in his 20s.
He's in his 20s. So for that age group, the group that's grown up with Instacart and DoorDash, to have the resilience to like be at it for that many years, dude, that's pretty impressive. So yeah, hopefully one day we'll be able to connect with Mr. Beast. He's actually similar to Deion Sanders in a way, kind of been writing the book on brand building. You know, like he goes out there, he builds this giant brand on YouTube, and now he launches like a chocolate company, and he has like Prime, I think, is one of his things, right? The drink, or is that?
No.
Or is he not
that's,
involved? That's the other guy.
That's another influencer. Yeah, that's Logan Paul.
Logan Paul, yeah. But in either case, shout out to Mr. Beast. You're probably not listening to this, but if you are,
no, he's definitely not listening to this. Maybe he is.
For your grit and determination. Speaking of,
yeah, I actually just saw, last thing on Mr. Beast, and then we can move on. I saw that he's actually Feastables, which is his chocolate company, is grew to the point where it's going to be a patch on an NBA team. Think about that, dude. So, from YouTube channel, from like YouTube videos to having his chocolate company, which I'm assuming isn't cheap, afford like to be one of the, you know, because I think there's only one patch per NBA team, to have his patch on one of the NBA team jerseys. Pretty fucking cool.
Dude, and I'm the guy who's rooting for him, right? I like rooting for people because I want to see everybody thrive.
Hell so yeah.
If you've been putting in the work, you know, shout out to anybody who's putting in the work. I want to acknowledge a gritty workout that I did right before we started recording. I just want to put it out to anybody in the universe who wants to try this. If you beat 184 calories, Gabe Yanez will personally give you a shout out on the next podcast or something. I don't know. We'll come up with something. But tag us on social media if you end up doing this workout. It's a 12-minute running clock. So you start a clock for 12 minutes and you grab a bar and you load it up with 95 pounds for gentlemen, 65 pounds for ladies. If you cannot do 95 or 65 for at least 20 reps, drop the weight down, right? Like lighten load. You're going to hit 16 reps. Boom, fast. And then you're going to row. And then every 2 minutes for the next 12 minutes, so six rounds, you're going to jump off and you're going to go 16 the first at zero, then 14 at 2 minutes, then 12 at 4 minutes, then 10, eight, six, and you finish at six on round six. So basically you're on and off the rower and your goal is to accumulate as many calories as you can. And you start off with push press and you finish on the rower, right? Every 2 minutes you get off to hit your rep scheme of, you know, 16, 14, 12, et cetera. So I just got done doing that. I got 184. So hit us up on social if you end up doing that one. But back to the topic at hand.
Really quick though. So how many calories, like how long was maybe the first interval taking you? Like how long did you have on the rower before you had to hop off at the 2 minute mark? Like minute 45, minute 30. And how many calories did you get in that time span?
So I took a video of my screen when I finished, my screen when I finished the workout, and I will pull it up here. So 9 minutes and 50 seconds of rowing, right? So obviously you're getting on and off the rower, right? So I spent 2 minutes off the rower, more or less, right? And I got 184 calories. So in 10 minutes, so I averaged 18 calories a minute, I guess, kind of. There's probably some fluff in there, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's impressive, but yeah, that's cool, man. It's a fun workout. Any combination that has a push and a pull will always put you in the Hurt Locker.
And 26, 100 meters.
Nice.
So
interesting thing, that I heard on a podcast the other day, and it kind of relates to this because they didn't talk about CrossFit, but it immediately made me think about CrossFit and the fact that like, there's always a score to beat.
Oh yeah. And, when you talk, I have something on that too. Yeah.
But what they were talking about on the podcast was how many times having a number associated to a behavior makes us deviate the behavior that we do beyond or like away from its original intention. So let me give you a couple of examples. The examples that they had were like college GPA and wine scores. So for wine scores, they had, and you might actually know this aside from me, but there's a really famous like single person that puts out a score for wines. I can't remember the name right now.
No, but like Wine Spectator does it, but then they also have like, they have magazines, but they also have one guy. I don't know who the guy
is. Yeah, there's one guy who, he was the first one to do it, right? Like he was somehow made it like super popular and started putting out like whatever, a 1 to 10 next to certain wines. And then what ended up happening was because winemakers obviously wanted to sell more wine and this single guy was really kind of having such an impact on the industry, they started making wines literally for his palate. Light.
Yeah,
exactly. Just because this number now, this score was dictating what originally was the whole purpose of this, which was to give people information on like, what's a good wine, what's a bad wine. Where, you know, I'm not a huge wine drinker, but I'm sure people can relate to this. It's very subjective. Like what I like is probably not going to be what you like. And to have a whole industry shift towards what one person's palate was, who's also like tasting it, not with food, which I know impacts like how you experience wine, moved it so far away from what the original purpose of it was. And then the other, you know, example is college and GPA, which is, you know, the original intention of college is to educate you, to make you, you know, get better at like problem solving, thinking independently, like having, you know, debates and like, you know, conversating with people and working in groups, on and so forth. But because GPA means so much to a lot of people, and you can, you know, make the same argument for high school, last 2 grades of high school, now students' behaviors are completely dictated on how do I get the highest GPA. And the example that they elaborated on with this college example is that some of the best employees, and I forgot who the guy was that was on the podcast, but he was on the Chris Williamson podcast, but he was saying that some of the best employees are never like the 4.0 GPA people. It's always the people that are a little lower than that, more like the B-, A-, B+ student, because they're getting those grades because they usually also have a social life, or they're balancing college with working a full-time job to pay for it. So they're not going to get the best grades, but the fact that they're not getting the best grades is because they're rounding out the actual skill set that you need to be more effective in the workplace, versus like being so, you know, dogmatic about like college or high school being just about the grade you get. So it was these interesting examples of how like attaching a number, a score to something, moves us away from like the original intention of what we were doing. And yeah, as I'm listening to this, I started thinking about CrossFit, because
it's a great the original analogy. Intention,
right, is to get fit. The original intention is to look better, feel better, like be able to do stuff outside the gym. But I mean, anyone listening here that's done CrossFit for a while can attest to the fact that like after a while, it becomes all about your score and the leaderboard. And it's actually what we were talking about the other day, right? Like your mind many times goes to, how can I like, you know, not cheat the movement, but like find skirt a way to make the movement, yeah, right? Like skirt the line as much as, yeah, you can. And it's interesting because I was immediately thinking about like, man, how many people have gotten to the point in their training, especially in like the CrossFit space, where the leaderboard was definitely a positive in the beginning because it kind of made people, you know, chase times and intensity and all that good stuff. But when does it get to the point where now we're actually moving away from the original goal of fitness and working out, which is to get strong,
yeah, to get a stimulus, free, yeah,
yeah, to get a stimulus, and also to like be able to do stuff outside the gym, not just like, you know, do thrusters and pull-ups so you can do more thrusters and pull-ups.
Dude, yeah, like yesterday, so I was at CrossFit HQ, put on an event for all of their employees 2 days ago, and I was invited by Dave to go be like an assistant coach. So I went out there. I was the only non-CrossFit employee there, which was, I get, it was cool. And I was on the station with another coach. His name was Dustin. And the employees got bussed in from Santa Cruz and they competed through 3 different events and they did a really good job. You know, I just, as an outsider, right, it was really interesting to me because CrossFit talks so much about scaling and inclusive and et cetera. But yet at the end, they still celebrated the scores, kind of like old school CrossFit. So it was a really interesting dynamic for me because like, we don't really celebrate the scores at all in our gyms at all. Zero. We don't talk about it. We don't bring it up. But in this particular case, they said, oh, you know, who set the fastest score? Who did less than 8 minutes? And it's really interesting because I wonder if that's just the way it's been done for so long that people don't even realize like how it's kind of like a double-edged sword. It's like, you're saying it's fully inclusive, go ahead and walk, but then you're also highlighting these people in a really exaggerated way. And that was an interesting takeaway that I had. And I wonder over the years, if that'll start to shy away. Cause I know that you're seeing that less and less probably in affiliates. Like back in the day, you might have a whole group of people at the end of a workout be like, all right, let's celebrate Gabe for hitting, you know, the best. I don't think you see it that much in the affiliate anymore. So I was interested to see it at HQ talking about that. And, you know, it brings me to another point. The workout was this hill run, dude. And then these deadlifts. And I encourage people to use double overhand just to give it a little bit of a different stimulus. Cause like it was a very run heavy workout. It wasn't really based on the deadlift, but you know, people's mindset is, how do I get these deadlifts done as easy as possible so I could put up the best score? And like, to be fair, like that's my mindset too, but it's like, what about the day where it's just like, hey, I want to get a great stimulus from this run. I want to tax my grip more. I want to get, you know, it's just, once you start adding the score, if you take it too far, it really starts to take you away from like the intended stimulus of what you're trying to do. But in either case, I do want to give a shout out real quick to CrossFit for gathering their entire HQ team and having collaborative conversations to connect each other, because that connection, I think, is what's going to help them, you know, really grow for the future. So, you know, I feel like CrossFit was on a huge upswing for many years as I was part of it. I feel like it had a couple of years where it was a little bit, you know, not on an upswing, but I feel like it's on an upswing again. And I think leadership has been doing a good job. So I just want to give credit where credit is due to those guys for what they're working on.
Yeah, man, that's cool. It's cool that you went out there, and it's cool to hear, because we've said this time and time again, but we want CrossFit to grow. Our two gyms are in the Bay Area, CrossFit affiliates. I think that a lot of people can benefit from CrossFit doing a really good job. So shout out to them for getting everyone in person. You know, building on kind of what you were saying, and I think I've said this in the past, but it just brings up a recent example. That's why I've enjoyed so much shifting to like more bodybuilding type training, because it's honestly the complete opposite. Like training for aesthetics.
Yeah, it's like polar opposites.
Because like literally the loading that you have and any sort of like quote unquote score is completely meaningless. It's actually like the other day I watched the video, this blew my mind, and I was so pumped that I saw it, because it was like the cue that I needed. So it was a guy showing bent over barbell rows, and the cue that he gave were try and think about having your elbows touch behind your back. So if you think about like doing a row, right, doing a row movement, and then think about like, obviously you can't do this, but think about like getting your elbows to like touch behind your back. It's the perfect cue that I needed to really like take my biceps out of the bent over barbell row and feel my lats working. But what it required me to do is actually go a lot lighter, but I went a lot lighter, and I felt my back light up in a way I haven't doing barbell bent over rows for as long as I can remember. And to me, that's like the most vivid example of like the intention of my workout right now is to activate as many muscle fibers as I can, so I can have a stimulus that will hopefully make my muscles grow. Right. And that doesn't require moving faster. That doesn't require lifting a heavier load. It literally requires me being like so meticulous about like, hey, what muscle am I trying to engage in this exercise? And what am I thinking about from, you know, my elbows touching, from what's squeezing, what shouldn't be working, because my biceps shouldn't be working. And I know that that type of training isn't for everyone, and I've been like, you know, obsessing with it for a while, but to me, it's been a fun kind of like pendulum swinging in the other direction, because I've been able to take what weight is on the bar completely out of what I correlate to like, oh, I did success. A good workout today, or I'm progressing. Like to me, that was a breakthrough, and I did less weight, less reps. I just found the like right cue to where I literally felt like, hey, my lats did some work that time. So
it's a very hard mindset though. Like it's a big mindset shift to go through. Like, I mean, I'm not there yet. I'm not like, we talked about this. Like, not only am I not that, like, I don't know, man, like the other day,
but you don't need to get any bigger, bro.
Yeah. The other day we had Colby Lopez or Seth Rollins, WWE superstar. Yeah. And his wife, Becky, was here. So they were in the garage and they were training with me. And Becky, dude, so Becky actually showed me on her arm, like she had a legit gash. So she, you know, she's a wrestler, right? And so she like fell off the ring onto a table, and she had like legit gash that she needs stitches for. And she showed me a picture. It was pretty nasty. Anyways, those guys are badasses. So he's in the garage and he's training with me. And dude, we were doing like this, just like kind of bodybuilding into a CrossFit workout, and felt good, but I still like the AMRAPs and the EMOMs and the getting after it. I like both. So I'm going to be doing both.
And to your point, like one thing that I've been programming into Flex, and it's been really fun, because I always say it like keeps you honest. Like once a week we get after it. Like once a week we put an EMOM in that like really is going to like get the heart rate up and give you that feel. And, you know, the way I programmed, depending on when this comes out, the October microcycle that goes all through October and mid through November, is that the two like really hard EMOMs that you see the first 2 weeks, you're going to see again the last 2 weeks. So it also gives you a chance to, you know, write down like, hey, was I able to do that? How many calories did I hold? And then do it again in 2 weeks. So that stuff is important. I think it's just finding the, you know, bias of, you know, are you doing that three times a day, one time a day? And also realizing that once a week, realizing that doing that kind of training once a week is enough to maintain, might not be enough to like build that, like, you know, anaerobic endurance. But if you're building aesthetics, there's a way to balance in making sure you're also not losing the engine, the go, while, you know, you can have your cake and eat it too.
Cause you're getting in the red zone at least once a week. Now, if people sign up, and here's a testament to Gabe's red zone ability. I mean, you did go, I will give you credit where credit's due. You crushed the 1.5 mile run at Customs and Border Protection in Camp Pendleton. You did. I mean, I was pretty surprised for a bodybuilder to be able to run that fast. So shout out to Gabe for that one.
I wouldn't call me a bodybuilder, but dude, the funny thing about doing stuff like that now is like time-wise, it's still off. Like what I used to do when I was like, you know, a buck 50, which I used to do.
But that
was
like extenuating circumstances, bro. It's like 100 degrees. We had already done a bunch of events. Like,
Yeah.
It wasn't the same.
But what I was going to say is the biggest difference, even when times aren't super crazy off, is it just hurts so much more now. Oh my God. Like when I was like the thing that I missed the most,
because you weigh more.
Yeah. The thing I missed the most about like, you know, being a runner and being like, you know, 150 pounds, 160 pounds is running was like floating. It was like, it's a feeling that honestly, like I do really miss, where like you can go and run 6-minute miles and you feel like you're not even like touching the ground. Like it's such a nice feeling when you get into like really good running shape, that now, like, you know, I can still run a sub 6-minute mile, a 5:30 mile, but man, it just like, it hurts my joints. It hurts my muscles. It hurts everything.
So that's going to be the reason that I no longer run. No, I run enough, but hey, if people want those flex or so in the newsletter, I know we've added some workouts in the newsletter. If people want to see some of the flex workouts, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, definitely in the newsletter and making sure that you're following. Well, I don't want to spoil too much, but make sure you're following trainhard.fit. That's all I would say. Definitely exciting things coming down the pipeline. But if you're trying to specifically catch some flex workouts, I would just make sure you're on the newsletter and following Instagram.
Yeah. So make sure you check out the podcast show notes for that. So we're talking today we're talking today about this idea about what train, protect, provide means to us. And I think that it's okay if it means something different for different people. That's okay. That's actually a good thing. And so, you know, when I think about, and I'll let Gabe talk, but like when I think about this, I hate to use the term tagline because it's kind of like a way of life. Like what we're thinking about is we want to act the part. We want to look the part. We want to never allow our momentum to get to zero. So just to kind of like clarify that, what that means to me, to act the part means that I want to be able to run, jump, climb, keep up with my kids, like never allow fitness to inhibit what I want to do. Like that's acting the part. Like I want to be strong enough and fit enough to do anything that I want to do. That's an action required, right? But I also want to look the part. I want to have the dad bod 2.0. I want to be jacked. I want to look fit. I want people to look at me and be like, dude, that guy looks healthy. That guy looks good, jacked, whatever you want to call it. Like I want to be that guy. That's important for me. And I also want to show up in a room and to have my physique demonstrate to people like that I'm not going to be the easiest target in the room. Like that's important to me. Like if I'm walking in a different country, I want people to be looking and be like, bro, if I'm a criminal, like I'm going to just kind of like, I'm going to go for the next guy. Like that guy, it's not worth it. Right. And that's not because of my cauliflower ear or whatever. That's just because of my size and my physique and the way that I carry myself. So I want to act the part, which is that I want to look the part. So I want to have a certain look. And then obviously this goes without saying, I want to never allow my momentum to get to zero. And what that means to me is like, whether I'm, you know, like yesterday, for example, I was spent all day with the gym owner all day, but my never zero was I went on a 2-hour ruck in the morning. So that's an example. Like I didn't get after it super hard, but that was never zero. I did something, right? I always kept the ball rolling because once you allow the momentum to get to zero, it's hard to re-pick it back up. So those are like some certain things we're really circulating around here underneath, you know, with Train Hard and what we're all about. So I just want to kind of start there, Gabe.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of what has gone into, you know, the direction of this brand and where we want to take it and where, you know, people have noticed us taking the podcast is distilled down to exactly what you just said. And I think that what's been really fun for me is the fact that like, I am super passionate about exactly everything you just said, right? Like acting the part is for me at least, like, you know, always being able to do whatever it is that I want to do, right? Like I can literally act the part of being an active dad, being a great husband, being, you know, like super fit when we go back to California and I do get some workouts in, like that to me is super important. The look the part, you know, for me, I'm never going to be the guy that is the biggest in the room. Like I'm just not, right? Like somewhere along the evolutionary tree, me and you split off like a little earlier than most. And I'm just never going to have triceps like you. I've come to accept that. But I do think that the part that like, I think most people out there can hopefully relate to is the fact that like looking the part is so much more about how you carry yourself than how big your freaking biceps are. Like, yes, I have some very specific aesthetic goals and I'm trying to get as jacked as possible. And that's just been a really fun fitness journey for me for so many reasons. But I think that the fact that what you do in the gym and how you take care of your nutrition makes you look a certain way that just gives you the confidence to like walk into a room with your chin held high. That to me is what look the part is. Like I never want to catch my reflection as I'm walking past like a storefront or whatever and not be like super proud of what I see. And then on a second note there for the look the part, I do think that there's something to be said about like when I meet someone for the first time and they look super fit, that immediately tells me something about them. And yeah. I don't want this to come off as the fact that like if you don't look super fit, it means that you aren't these things. That's not what I'm saying at all. But if you do look super fit, like I immediately assume that you're someone that takes your commitment seriously. You're someone that clearly like cares about your health and cares about like what you say you're going to do. And again, that doesn't mean that if you don't look like Jason, you don't like care about your commitments or all of that. That's not what that means. But it does mean that like, if I shake your hand and I'm like, holy shit, man, like this guy, you know, he clearly works out. To me, that tells me something about that person. And I want people to have that reaction when they meet me for the first time. Like I want them to see me and be like, yeah, yeah. Makes sense that, you know, works for a fitness company. Makes sense that like, you know, he is where he is in his career. Like I want all that to like reinforce because it should tell people that I put hard work in the gym and I'm disciplined with, you know, how I go about my health. So that to me is like the side of look the part that isn't just like, you know, how you look.
Yeah. Like how you look in the mirror. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I was actually doing some research on this and then I do want to talk about the difference between train hard and NC fit, but I was doing some research on this. I was doing some basic research. I was going back to the '80s and they were doing these studies. I think we talked about this about they showed on like some CCTV, like those cameras, they showed the same clips of the same people to 300 inmates in a prison. And they said, out of all these people, who would you attack or like who would you like whatever first? And oddly enough, it wasn't like based on sex or gender, I mean, gender or race. Oddly, it was purely based on the demeanor of which someone walked. And I found that to be interesting because that was back in the 80s. Imagine now with cell phones in your hands, how much different that makes that. So, but I did want to make sure that we acknowledge something. So we're talking about this idea of act the part, look the part, never get to zero. But I wanted to just address kind of how we've evolved. So NC Fit started out close to 20 years ago, and we own and operate brick and mortar gyms that I believe are first in class in the CrossFit space. If you live in the Bay Area, you got to come to one of our locations and crush with us. We also serve gym owners and coaches through a variety of different products, because we've been doing this in the gyms for so long and offer such a high level experience. We also share session plans, programming, and other tools with gym owners and coaches that I believe are first in class. That's NC Fit's mission. And we will continue that mission. And I'll be in the gyms every day, just like I have been for the last close to 20 years. There's also a group of people that want to train hard, that want to get after it, that can't make it into one of our gyms and aren't a gym owner or coach, who are hard chargers, who want to be unapologetic about their fitness. And they want to act the part, they want to look the part, and they want to train in their garage, in the gym, elsewhere. And that's where the Train Hard brand really comes into play. So I'll be associated with both, right? If I'm in the gyms, pumping NC Fit because I'm there with our members, I'm there with, you know, gym owners and coaches, et cetera. if I'm in my garage or I have a men's club come over and we're doing a ruck outside, that's where train hard is really going to live. And it's going to create this culture of men and women who just want to get after it, who can't make it into our gyms. And so I just want to kind of address those two and where we're going with train hard and also NC Fit.
Yeah, man. And I think that it's in many ways, you know, not this completely separate brand, but really an evolution of what I think has been a part of NC Fit's culture forever, right? Because, you know,
10 years ago, we made the shirts,
you know, Train Hard was a shirt made by NC Fit 10 years ago. But I think that, like, you know, we've talked about this before, like in many ways you are the, you know, you've been synonymous for and with NC Fit for a long time. And I think that if you were to ask a lot of people what made you a big crowd favorite and, you know, someone that so many people loved in the sport of CrossFit, it's because it was clear that you trained hard. And that's not to say that anyone else on the games level didn't, but the fact that you were always the guy that was like grinding and it didn't look like some of the stuff like just came natural to you. Like Rich, in many ways, like the virtuosity and movement, and like he makes it look effortless. But I think the reason that so many people gravitated towards you is because, fuck man, like it looks like that guy's success is completely because of just how fucking hard he grinds. And again, doesn't mean no one else is doing that, but I think that you symbolize that in ways where like some of the athletes couldn't. So to me, this is just a natural evolution of NC Fit and what it always has been, but just a little bit more clear and a little bit more specific for the type of people that enjoy this podcast and the type of people that have been enjoying the newsletter. And it's not going to be for everyone, but I think that's okay, because I think that there are a lot of fitness brands out there that are doing great things for people that want other types of fitness. But we want to be the ones that are doing a very specific type of fitness for people that just want to be absolute badasses, protectors, providers, so on and so forth. And that's what I'm excited about.
Yeah. So on that note, you know, we talk about protectors and providers, just kind of sharing the way I think about that. So when I think about protector, right, I'm not necessarily, I am. Like, so I train combatives. I train Muay Thai. I train jiu-jitsu. I train firearms regularly. Like I train all these things because they're skills that I desire to possess. Just like learning how to drive a stick shift car, I think is valuable. I want to learn how to fly a plane and maybe even one day a helicopter. I think it's cool to possess skills that if you needed to call upon them, you could call upon them. I think that's important for me personally. So when I think about protect, I think about, can I sprint? Can I jump? Can I climb? Can I protect myself? Can I then protect my family? And it starts with a baseline of mental and physical fitness. It starts there. Like, if we don't have mental and physical fitness, we have nothing above that on a pyramid. So are you mentally stable in the terms of like, how's your mental fitness going? Are you doing the things you need to do to show up well? Are you doing the physical fitness things you need to do so that if you were in a situation where you need to run, jump, climb, push, pull, whatever, you have the capability of doing that? Those are questions I ask myself. And then obviously you layer on top of that combatives, first aid, jujitsu, firearm training, all that kind of stuff. But I think at the baseline, what we're really going to focus on through our organization is that foundation of fitness. We are not subject control experts in firearms or jujitsu, even though we have a lot of exposure there. We're going to focus on that baseline of fitness. So that's what I think about being a protector is like, dude, if you cannot sprint and your kid needs you to chase them because they're running into the street, like that's a problem for me. And that is the epitome of being able to protect yourself and your family. When it comes to providing, you know, I think that there's a few ways you could look at this. I look at it in terms of providing experiences, being able to provide, like literally my kids are, in particular, my son is nonstop go, nonstop. From the moment he wakes up to the moment he goes to sleep, he's either throwing a football inside the house or asking me to go do something outside, period. If he's not at school, he's asking to go do something. And I want to be able to provide the experience to him to be able to go do things. And if I don't have the energy, how can I go do things? That's a problem. I also want to be able to provide as a husband, as a dad, a lifestyle that contributes to what my children, my family want. I want to be able to go take vacations. I want to be able to go provide them tools and things that they need for their sports and whatnot. And that becomes more of a business focus. So when I think about provide, it kind of has different layers to it. It's providing experiences and then also providing financially to grind so that we could take care of them. And those are important to me. So when we think about train, protect, provide, it's training, fitness, so you can provide or protect, but also these other layers come into play that are important to me.
Yeah, man, I think you nailed the protect piece for sure. And what I would just kind of highlight is that you don't have to necessarily train combatives, train firearms to be a protector by any means, right? Like, right. I think right. that sometimes those are the things that immediately get associated with this idea of quote unquote being a protector. And for some people, it might be like, I mean, I have no interest in doing that stuff. But I think where you nailed it is, dude, what if something were happening or something were about to happen to your kid, you know, 10 meters away, and it depended on you to be able to get there as fast as possible?
Dude,
and you just,
the fire
just
is a great,
do that.
Gabe, the fire is a great example.
For sure.
Dude, my son, we were at Gabe's ranch and my son fell in. I mean, that was very close quarters, right? But that's a good example, don't you think?
For sure. The reflex, the like strength, the, I mean, everything it took. But tell people the story again, or if not, I can.
Well, no, you go ahead because you're right there. I mean, it's first.
So this is the first time Jason visits our property here in Texas. We're super excited to have him. It's also the first time that Jason like has the kids without Ashley. Am I correct?
Well, she was in London. So yeah, she was far away.
Yeah, she was in, right. She was far away, but it was like the first time that you were like, we're on like a trip
yeah.
with the kids and Ashley's not there. So a lot of firsts going on and we're having a great time. Jason came over, he's staying in the Airstream. Like, it's great to have him, check out the house. We had a great dinner. My parents came. It's night. So we start a bonfire, roasting marshmallows, making s'mores. Like, everyone's having a good time. You know, Ava and Caden, awesome kids to have around. I remember that too. I remember like distinctly thinking, because we didn't have kids at the time, of being like, man, like these kids are like, that's what I want my kids to be like. Yeah, anyway, that's a side note.
They're nice. Yeah.
And so we're standing by the bonfire, like literally it's all good. Like, we're having such a good time. And then in a split second, and I can remember, like, I'm sure you can remember it too. I can remember it happening in slow motion. So Ava at the time was facing away from the fire. So she had her back towards the fire, but she wasn't like on top of it, obviously, because it would be too hot, but she was facing away from it, like grabbing something for the s'mores or whatever. And takes a step back and starts falling back into the fire. And as a reaction, she grabs for whatever she can, which was Caden, who was nearby. So she grabs him and pulls him into the fire. So now you have two kids going straight into a bonfire. Jason's sitting next to me. So this is all happening to my left. Jason's sitting down to my right. And I've never seen Jason, obviously not the smallest guy, the quickness to where you jumped up and immediately, it's funny because like now that I'm a dad, you know, they talk about like dad reflexes, like it's a thing, dude.
Yeah.
And you were up and immediately like pulled Ava first. So she never even really fell in, but because she had pulled Caden in and he had already lost his balance, he fell in to the point where like his arm actually fell on a hot ember and he got burned. Not terribly, but you know, he did fall in, but like they were in and out in like 2 seconds. And it was because you were like able to jump up from your chair across from where they were, get to them, pull them out. And honestly, like, you know, avert something that could have been a lot gnarlier than it ended up being.
Yeah. I ended up jumping basically into the fire and I threw them both out. And, I mean, yeah, dude, Caden, for how bad, you know, it's just a testament to like fire being so dangerous. I mean, dude, Caden still has a scar from that. And like, he got pretty messed up and he was honestly in that fire for like, bro, a quarter of a second. Like, I mean,
it was no time.
He hit the ember and I threw him out at the exact same time. And it just goes to show, but that's a good example of what we're talking about. Like, dude, we're not talking about like, that's an example of protection that has nothing to do with firearms or
combatives.
And frankly, I think that actually, to be honest, I actually think that that is a more likely scenario for most people most of the time.
For sure.
Than the other stuff.
And I think that also a lot of people like think that, oh, I'm going to, you know, buy a firearm and, you know, like first of all, the people that are like, I'm just going to buy a firearm and now I'm a protector, you know, because I have a firearm.
That's not who we're talking to.
Whoa, buddy. Like, that's not the case at all, right? Like, it's buying a firearm, training with it, knowing how to responsibly handle it, so on and so forth. But yeah, I think that a lot of people might also fall in the camp, because Tim Kennedy talks about this all the time. They'll join a Brazilian jiu-jitsu gym and be like, hey, like, you know, I'm a protector because I'm learning this. But like, you know, they'll go 2-3 minute rounds and just be completely gassed and like on the floor and not be able to do anything. I would argue that like, I'm more of a protector than that person, even though they're taking Brazilian jiu-jitsu, because like, you need the baseline fitness. Like, you need to be able to, you know, what if you had to run back and forth, like grab your kids, do this, do that. Like, are you cardiovascularly in a position to do that? And then also not be completely in the red to where you can't even think straight. Cause that's another big part of it too. Like, if shit does ever hit the fan, you're probably going to have to make some like tough in the moment decisions. And if anyone's ever done a really tough workout, you know that it's really tough to think clearly when you're in the red. So how do you improve that? Is you train hard so that A, you don't get in the red as easy. And when you do, you've been there before and you can kind of detach your body being in like complete fight or flight and you being able to be like, okay, what's happening? What do I need to do? And do it.
Yeah. I mean, dude, that's just, that's the way that we break down the protector side. Like, there's so many ways you could break it down, but for me, it's the foundation of fitness. And obviously that's what, you know, we have an expertise in. And I love all the other things, but like the likelihood of me getting into a hand-to-hand combat fight with some dude at a bar when my kids are there, like, it's pretty unlikely, man. Like, I mean, the likelihood of me having to potentially do something where, you know, you have to move your kid, whatever, like that's much more likely. So yeah, I mean, dude, these are important characteristics. And I think that as we continue to grow, you know, like last Saturday, we had a group over here. This Saturday, I'll probably have another, I might even have like 20 men at my house this weekend to hit it in the garage and just trying to like instill this culture. And I think long-term, the vision is through train hard to like get a group of hard chargers together who want to, you know, have these type of conversations and improve themselves as individuals through fitness. That's the goal.
One of the things that I write down notes from like podcasts I listen to, books I read, newsletters I get. And the first thing that training teaches you is that you have the power to change your circumstances. And if you think about that, that's the reason that fitness specifically is so powerful, because it's something that's completely in your control, that like, once you start really like getting after it in the gym and seeing that, hey, like I can act the part now, I can look the part now. Like, I know it sounds a little maybe fluffy, cheesy, whatever, but it absolutely improves other areas of your life. Absolutely. And I think that that's where, to me, the provide aspect plays into it, because, and I'll hit you with another, big announcement here at the end of this podcast, but we're soon to be a family of four.
Oh, you're gonna talk about that on the we're gonna announce that right here on this podcast.
Well, I it's funny because I literally texted my wife making sure that it's okay. We're gonna like tell people like this weekend, and I know this isn't gonna come out in like a few weeks, and this is me telling you.
Well, congratulations.
Thanks, man.
So for the record, everybody, I found out the same time that everybody else on this podcast is gonna find out.
Well, no, because this isn't live. No,
I know.
But yeah, Jason did.
Dude, that's awesome.
No, super exciting, man. Super
How
exciting.
How far along is she?
Family's getting bigger. We're like at 10 weeks now. Yeah.
Bro, these guys, they wasted no time. You went right at it.
Dude, we want a big family. But on that note, like, dude, I have to provide for a big family, man. You know, and I want to be able to do that. But
what do you guys want? Like five?
Dude, at least four. I want a big family, man. But we'll see. Everyone, so my parents always say, like, wait until you have two, and then we'll have that conversation. So we'll see. But yeah, man, we're gonna be a family of four. It's super exciting. But the reason I really wanted to bring that up in this context is because a big why for me has been, you know, when we had our first child, and Ariel was super fortunate that she had maternity leave, paid maternity leave for 4 months. Super lucky that the company she was working for allowed her to do that. Super grateful. And she went back to work, man, and, you know, started ramping back up, and we were trying to make it work with, like, you know, childcare, and we were looking for like, you know, places to watch him here in town, and like everything was waitlisted. And it got to the point where she was just like, I really want to be able to just be mom. Like that's what I want to do right now. Like she thought before that she would want to go back to work and continue building her career. And like, but like having a kid changed everything for her. And the fact that like I was able to, with where I was in my career, be able to say, great, like, let's do that. Like, you can still do a little bit of nutrition coaching on the side because she wants to do that. And it kind of like fills her cup. But for me to able to like step up and be like, I'm going to provide for everything that we need, and you can go ahead and be mom, was maybe one of the most like proudest moments that I've been for the hard work that I put in to be able to do that. And that to me is one of the most powerful whys to why I train hard in the gym, because it makes me show up better in my career and the work that I do. And it fires me up to like, you know, make sure that I'm still moving in the right direction every day, because I never want to be in a place where I'm like, hey, Bloom, like, you gotta go back to work, you know?
Yeah, that's never.
Fucking never. And again, I feel like I always have to preface this with like,
if she wanted that, to, you, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Right, yeah. But like,
or if you don't do that, yeah.
But the fact that that's like something that I can like literally put on her and be like, whatever you want to be mom, like fucking do it. Like, I got us covered, is to me, like, that to me is what provide means. Train, protect, provide. Like, that's what I want to do all of my life. And that's why I'm so pumped with what we're doing with trainhard.fit, because that's what it means to me. And it's going to continue to mean that no matter how big this family gets.
Dude, yeah. Well, congratulations. That's huge news. obviously it's still early. So dude, that's awesome though, man. But back to your point, I think there's plenty of people that are listening that if that's something that inspires you, like, keep rocking and rolling. Like, if that's what provide means to you, like, hell yeah. If provide means something different to you and it's more about experiences and whatever, like, rock it that way. The goal is to find things that you can connect to resonate with you, that keep you fired up to training hard so that you could show up the best you can in your life. And for us, you know, we just clearly shared what it means to us. I really appreciate everyone that listens to this podcast. You know, it means a lot when we get messages on social, when we hear your responses through the newsletter, when we see your comments on reviews. So simple ask, you know, leave us a rating or review on the podcast. If you're getting value here, if you want other people to see it, share it with other people and leave us a review. It definitely helps out the podcast. Our goal is to grow this. Our goal is to get more people engaged on this idea of training hard so you could, you know, look the part, act the part. I mean, these are important to us. And if they're important to you, share with a friend and leave us a review. And congratulations to Gabe and Ariel on a family of four. Any final thoughts here?
No, man. No, just a very exciting time, soon to be more exciting.
Dude, wow, that's wild, man. Well, hey, check out the podcast show notes, all the links, leave us a review, and the Yanez group of four. We out.